tacit portion of Scripture what is given in its fullness in other Scriptures. And so this is very pertinent that we read in Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse 12. Proverbs 13:12. Listen to these words. Hope deferred, that means delayed long in coming to pass. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And I will quote you the other portion so you won't have to turn to it. In Psalm 112, it says, the desire of the wicked shall perish. Now, look at verse 19 in this same chapter. When desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Verse 19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Now let's turn to Genesis 40. This is one of the tenderest appeals in the Word of God. Genesis 40, Joseph has just interpreted the dream of the chief butler, and he says in verse 14, but have me in thy remembrance when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. And look at verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Now, chapter 41. And it came to pass, at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. And the dream is about fat, well-favored cattle and fat, well-favored kernels of wheat. He dreams about that. And then, after the fat cattle, come ill, skinny, poor cattle, and then come also the wheat. And he wakes up. Verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us there a young man, a Hebrew servant, to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. And what is Pharaoh going to do now? Look at verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee, that when thou hearest a dream, thou canst interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, "In my dream, behold, I stood upon the brink of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, behold, seven ears came up upon one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears, withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the seven good ears. And I told it unto the magicians, and there was none that could declare it to me." And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. What God is about to do, he hath declared unto Pharaoh. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven lean and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and also the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind. They shall be 7 years of famine. That is the thing which I spake unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he hath showed unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine which followeth, for it shall be very grievous. And for the dreams was doubled unto Pharaoh, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint overseers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of these good years that come, and lay up grain under the hand of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. And the food shall be for a store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." Now, verse 37. "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, 'Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?' So Pharaoh said unto Joseph, 'Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou.' And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, 'See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt.' And Pharaoh took his signet ring from off his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vesture of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, 'Bow the knee.' And he set him over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, 'I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt.' And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this magnificent biography of one of whom you are proud. Thou dost speak about your pride in some of your creatures. Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth? And thou dost tell us that of some thou art not ashamed. We pray that this shall be a challenge to our hearts. Our God, not that thou shalt look down from heaven upon us, as our Savior looked upon Peter when he denied him with oaths and cursings, but you shall look down from heaven with pleasure, because in a measure we've become conformed to the image of thy Son. So we confess our sins, Father. Be faithful and just to forgive and prepare the hearts and the lips of all who are here to speak and to receive. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Do you see now how pertinent Proverbs 13 is when it says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick"? You must understand that Joseph has been a slave since he was 17 years old, and now 11 years have transpired, and during those years, Joseph has been a slave in the house of Potiphar, and then he has been a slave in prison for the rest of the years, up until the time of 11 years. And so finally it looks as if hope is not going to be deferred any longer. Why? Because here are these prisoners, and this man is Pharaoh's chief butler, and he will stand before Pharaoh, and he has access to his ear. And I'm going to put in my petition to him because of what I've done for him, that he would show me a kindness. And now, after 11 years, finally, my heart is filled with hope. And it says in Proverbs 13, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." So think now. This is what Joseph has requested. He says, "Have me in thy remembrance when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness unto me, I pray thee, and speak unto Pharaoh for me, and bring me out of this dungeon." And so, in 3 days, as Joseph prophesied, the butler and the baker were released, and the butler stands again before Pharaoh. And so now, Joseph is just waiting. Any day now, I will receive word from Pharaoh that I am free after all these years. And so he waited a week, and he waited a month, and he waited a year, and he waited 2 full years. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Now, this is the second part of the temptation of Joseph. The first part was a physical temptation from Potiphar's wife to commit lewdness. He successfully overcame that temptation. But here is a temptation not without, but one within, because it seems so tantalizing that God has sent this chief butler, and soon I shall be freed and justice shall be done in my case. But now God says, you have another temptation to bear, the temptation of patience. Listen to what it says in James. "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into different temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience." So, he's already passed successfully the temptation of the lust of the flesh. But now it says, there is also this temptation to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so year after year, Joseph is put to the test of deferred hope. And thank God, he passes it. Now, look at yourselves and the temptations that you are subjected to. What if God subjected you to temptations for 13 years? How faithful would you be? What song would you have upon your lips? What hope would you have? What brightness would there be upon your countenance? Probably you would abandon hope in the Lord. But Joseph never did. And this is what it says. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, listen again to the second part of Proverbs 13. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Joseph knows all about that. It says, but desire realized is a tree of life. Do you see? And what has happened? What has happened after so long a time is that Joseph's desire to escape and be freed from this prison and slavery, it is now realized and it springs into a tree of life. I want to tell you something that is so remarkable, because what you have in the Old Testament, you have again in the New Testament, how God brings his will to pass in such a strange way. I told you that God wanted a church started at Philippi, and he wanted that Philippian jailer saved. And so he has Paul and Silas cast into prison, beaten, and put in the stocks to accomplish it. And in like manner, our Savior was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, but he's in Nazareth, and it nears the time when he's going to be born. And so Caesar Augustus sends out a decree that the whole world should be taxed. And Joseph and Mary make this long, wearisome journey to Bethlehem. And when she's in Bethlehem of Judea, the Lord Jesus is born. This is the fulfillment of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And how did God do it? He said, I will let Caesar Augustus tax the world so that Joseph and Mary shall be in Bethlehem when my son is born. Isn't that ridiculous? Why have the whole world taxed? I'm not able to tell you. And why would God have Joseph cast into prison and then have the butler and baker cast into prison so that they could come together? This was what his will was, and that's the way he wanted it done. And his will was accomplished. And nobody was aware of it. No one knew what was happening. In the eyes of the butler and the baker, it was simply something that had displeased Pharaoh, and they were in prison. But it was that God said, I have to have that butler in prison. And I have to have Joseph in prison at the same time. And under certain circumstances, before he will speak to Pharaoh, for this reason. Think now. Suppose the butler had spoken immediately to Pharaoh about Joseph. Perhaps Pharaoh, in his mercy, would have freed him. But that would have been the end. Why? Because Pharaoh had had no dream. I have no need of this man. I have my magicians. I have my wise men. I have no need of Joseph. And so God arranged for Joseph to stay in prison 2 more years. And then God said, now it's time to send this dream to Pharaoh. That is impossible for anybody to interpret it. And after 2 years, Pharaoh has his dream, and when he's asking for his magicians to interpret it, and they are unable to interpret it, the butler says, now I remember my faults. Wouldn't you like to have him as a friend? Somebody you ask to do something, and he waits 2 years before he does it for you. Well, I would like it if it were God's will, because it's one thing being freed, and what do you have? Nothing. I've been a slave. I've been a prisoner. And so he gets out? Nothing. But 2 more years, and he comes out of prison. He has been in the lowest place in the dungeon, and by staying 2 more years in prison, he is lifted to the highest place on earth, next to Pharaoh. Now, would you rather stay 11 years and be released, or stay 13 years and be next in authority unto Pharaoh? You say, why? To ask that question is to answer it. Why, of course. Now, this is what is so important, and this is what Christians fail to understand. They're always wanting to do something for God. But when the time comes and God places before them a task, they're not prepared to do it. If you were asked this day to stand up and speak intelligently and acceptably on, let us say, the book of James, faith in works, could you do it? Would you be able? You say, no, I would have to study. I would have to prepare myself. And then if I studied it long enough, I would probably find out I wasn't prepared. Well, please notice that when Pharaoh has a task to be accomplished and he sends for Joseph, Joseph is able to immediately do that which is required of him. And he had to wait 13 years before he was able to do it. This is an encouragement to you. What experience had Joseph of ruling the land of Egypt? Here he had been a steward in Pharaoh's house, and he had taken care of all the land of Potiphar. Yes, Potiphar twice. And then he had been in prison, and he had the place of a warden. So he had experience in the home, in prison, among prisoners. You say, he had all that experience. Yes. And he was able to transfer that experience he had as a steward and as a land governor. He was able to take that and apply it to the need that existed. And then, knowing men, knowing how to deal with criminals, he knew about that. It took him 2 more years in prison to learn about that. But when he came forth, he was prepared for anything that Pharaoh asked him to do. And here again, here is the naivete of Joseph. He interprets the dream, but he goes beyond that to show the efficiency of this young man. It's enough that God would enable him to interpret that dream, but God also has empowered that man to give Pharaoh the solution to the problem that's going to arise. Now, that is gift from God. To interpret dreams is one thing. Pharaoh would ask, well, what shall we do? He doesn't even wait to be asked. He said, this is what's going to happen. He said, this is the solution. Do you see how simple things were to him? But again, he did not say, and I am the man to carry out the responsibilities that I'm telling you about. Never entered his mind to promote himself. Thank God for such a man. But just as Potiphar and just as the warden in the prison looked at Joseph and said, God is with this man. God is prospering this man. This man has ability from on high. Pharaoh, in listening to that one speech of the young man, said, we don't have to go any further. You are the man. There's nobody as wise as you. There's nobody as equipped as you to fulfill this task. And what is so remarkable, as soon as some changes took place, I'll tell you about in a moment, it said Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. Why? Because he knew this task had to be performed quickly. And just as he became familiar with the running of Potiphar's household and taking care of his lands, just as in prison, he learned how to deal with prisoners. So now he says, I have another responsibility placed upon me. I've got to go and gather grain for 7 years. I have to find the cities where to place it. the man was perfectly prepared to go out from the presence of Pharaoh and do the business that would preserve the world. Now, let me tell you what is so remarkable about Joseph. You'll see at different times in his life the different garments that he wore. As a young boy, when he was 17 years old, his father took that coat of many colors and placed it upon him, and he was exalted among his brethren. He stood out because of the vesture that he wore. And then he was sold as a slave, and that garment was torn and covered with blood to deceive the father. And so now he goes into Potiphar's home, and he's wearing the clothing of a slave. And then when he's cast into prison, that clothing is laid aside, and now he is wearing the clothing of a prisoner. But immediately when Pharaoh calls him, those that hear he is to stand before Pharaoh take off from him his prison garments and put on him acceptable garments, bathes, shaves, makes himself presentable. And then this man, who is 30 years of age, goes and he stands before Pharaoh. Now, it's enough to have prison garments changed to garments to wear before Pharaoh. But as soon as he gives the interpretation to that dream, Pharaoh says, "Bring the finest linen garments of Egypt. Put them on Joseph. Here, take this signet ring. Put it on his hand. Put a gold chain about his neck. Get the second chariot, and every time he rides out anywhere, have people to run before him and say, 'Bow the knee, bow the knee.'" And so the garments that Joseph has worn have been befitting for the occasion. They change. A garment of many colors, outstanding in his father's house, and then the garment of a slave in Potiphar's house, the garment of a prisoner when he has been lied against, and then the garment of one who is to stand before Pharaoh, and finally, the finest garment in Egypt, next to that of Pharaoh. All of these illustrate the changes in this young man's life. And there's one thing I want to tell you. One thing that Pharaoh did, he gave him the name Zaphnath-Paneah. And not one of you knows what that name means, because the Egyptologists do not know what it means, and the Hebrew scholars do not know what it means. They give suggestions as to what it means, but they say this is conjecture. But one of the interpretations of these words, Zaphnath-Paneah, one of the interpretations is this, and I rejoice in it, and nobody's going to take it from me, because they say it conceivably means the Savior of the world. Now, why am I not going to let anybody take that away from me? Because in John 4 and in 1 John 4, our Savior is called the Savior of the world. Of course, this is what the word means. No need to look any further for the interpretation of it. It's an exalted title. It could be the Preserver, the Savior. Why? Because I had a dream, I did not know that destitution was coming upon the land, and this young man comes along and interprets my dream, and at the same time, he has a plan to deliver the land in time of famine, and therefore, Zaphnath-Paneah. So all of these things happen so suddenly. Who could imagine such a thing? Who could imagine that the hope that had been deferred, that made sick the heart of Joseph, would suddenly be desire realized, springing immediately into a tree of life? But it happened so quickly, in a moment of time, and Joseph was prepared for it. There are some people, even young preachers, and they get up and preach one good message, and the brethren are impressed, and they tell him, "Why, this is wonderful." And so they exalt him and put him before the public eye. And the next time he preaches, they say, "Why on earth did we do that? He's just not prepared as yet." But with Joseph, he was fully prepared for whatever task lay before him. And think now, how, with no self-consciousness, with no pride, Pharaoh says, "This is my dream, and this is one who's been brought out of a dungeon." And he's standing before the highest man in the land. And he's not ill at ease. He simply tells Pharaoh, he says, "This is what your dream means. God hath sent thee a warning as to what is going to come to pass." Now, I told you in weeks past about the way that God does send dreams. And if you will remember, at a later date, another king named Nebuchadnezzar is going to have a dream. He's going to dream about that colossal statue with the head of gold and silver and bronze and iron. Do you remember that? And Daniel surpasses Joseph in his dealing with dreams. Joseph says, "Tell me the dream and I will interpret it." But now, what is so difficult in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, he dreams a dream and he says, "It's gone from me." And I know that the magicians that were around Nebuchadnezzar were crooked and deceitful, because they said, "Tell us the dream and we will interpret it." They would make up some interpretation, whether it was right or wrong. And so here is Daniel, and all of them are to be put to death if the dream is not known and interpreted. And so Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego cast themselves upon God for his mercy. And then, before the time came when the decree must be put into effect that all of those wise men and magicians should be put to death, Daniel received the answer from the Lord. And he went before Nebuchadnezzar and he said, "That dream that you had the other night, you couldn't remember it?" He said, "Let me tell it to you." And mysteriously, he reveals unto him what he had dreamed, and then he interprets that dream, and Nebuchadnezzar is astounded. You see, God has always had those that are able to interpret dreams, and sometimes one that is even greater than one who interprets dreams, one like Daniel, who can tell you the dream that you dreamt and you forgot it. This has to be God. It has to be the Spirit of God. So now, think, Joseph has been exalted by his clothing, the apparel upon him, but there's another thing that has to be done. It says that the Egyptians separate themselves from the Hebrews, even when Joseph's brethren come in. Joseph sits at one table, being an Egyptian, and his brothers sit at another table. Why? Because it's an abomination for an Egyptian to eat with an Hebrew, one of another nation. And so what has to happen to Joseph now? Joseph has to be elevated socially, and so next to Pharaoh in position are the priests of Egypt. And Pharaoh goes to Potiphar and he says, "Give your daughter unto Joseph to be his wife." And the priest, of course, says, "Yes, Pharaoh, yes, Pharaoh." And so here is a man that had nothing. And socially, someone would say, "Who is your wife?" "Why, the daughter of the priest of On." "Why, Asenath, Potiphar's daughter." Then they would note that he had been exalted socially as well. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But after 13 years of enduring temptation, it says, desire realized, fulfilled, come to pass, is a tree of life. And it did not destroy Joseph. That is a remarkable thing. Let some do one thing and give them a little bit of glory and it goes to their head and they are ruined. At the same time, God could do things for some, but they, unlike Joseph, cannot believe that God can accomplish these things. Moses was that way. God said to Moses, I want you to be both my prophet and I want you to be... But Moses said, I can't speak. I've never been an eloquent man. That is so absurd. If you read the songs and the literature and the blessings that Moses put down for us and preserved for us, you would say he is an exceptional man. But in his own eyes, he said, I'm not able to do it. And so his brother comes in and takes over for him. God says, I know that your brother Aaron can speak well. So this is what happens in that case. But in the case of Joseph, nothing else is needed. Nothing. All right. I want all of you who have secular positions, lowly occupations, or any of you slaves in jail, anybody have a position that low? Do you realize that God, if you are a slave in a home, if you are a slave in prison, God can train you for 13 years in this area to become, to be, to do what he wants done. Why? Because the experience that Joseph had been gained during those 13 years that he spent as a slave in Potiphar's house and in the prison. The same thing, and you may read it so beautifully in 1 Samuel, with David. David came out to bring some gifts for his older brothers and for King Saul, brought them to relieve their hardships, and when he came out, Goliath of Gath was walking up and down challenging the nation of Israel, and everybody cowered and ran away from him. And David said, what is happening here? And then they told David, and David said, I'll go fight him. And they looked at him, they said, you're nothing but a stripling, you're nothing but a youth, how can you fight this man? David said, why, I can do it because of this. He said, when I kept my father's sheep and a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out, I went out after him and I grabbed him by the beard and I smote him and I took that lamb out of its jaws. And then if it came upon me, I would kill him. He said, thy servant killed a lion and he killed a bear. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be no different. Isn't that remarkable? So where did you learn to fight giants? Why, keeping sheep. Well, where did you learn to be ruler of the land of Israel? Why, I did it as a slave in Potiphar's house. Oh, and what else? I did it as a slave in prison. That's where I got my experience. Tell me this, where did Jesus learn to be the greatest teacher the world has ever known? You say, why, he was a carpenter until he was 30 years of age. You mean God is able to teach a man who is only a carpenter to speak in a way that never man spake? You say, why, evidently, yes. And so that's why I tell you, you can gain experience in one area that can be transferred to another if you are willing to subject yourself to the training of God. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. And Joseph is prepared to wait until God's time. And when that time comes, Joseph says, I am ready. I need no helpers. I'll simply go and find other men that can do what I cannot do everywhere over the land of Egypt. So, dear ones, remember, hope deferred, not denied. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But desire realized is like a tree of life. So have patience. God will bring it to pass. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this man that you brought to our attention. Our God, that we might pattern our lives according to the flesh after his. Let our manner of life be without covetousness, and let us be content with such things as we have. For thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So with confidence we may say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. Help us, Father, to have the faithfulness and the patience and the steadfastness of Joseph. And Father, someday thou shalt bring us forth, and it shall be like the tree of life. Help us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.